Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
Feels good. The weekend is finally here, and we have one last hour together on Overnight America. The phone numbers are here in case you wanted to call in or text in. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. One person texted in, "Can you welcome the show back with a little Gloria?" That's been a while since we played this one. It really has. I think it's okay to play every once in a while. I don't think you want to overuse it. You know, producer Mike and I were having a conversation the other day about this song, when it would be appropriate to play and not. And I said, do you think the Blues will play this after wins next year? And he said, I don't think they should. And his reasoning was, you know, what if the Blues are not as good? What if they don't have the run? What if they're not in playoff contention? What if they're playing this song and there's no hope for them to make the playoffs or whatever it is? What if all of those scenarios play out? And then you're kind of, you know, it's a little like, maybe this wasn't the best use for it. This song was something very special for this specific season and this run of this year. So you don't want to taint the feelings that this song brought you in the Stanley Cup win with the St. Louis Blues. So he said, no, it's probably better that they don't play it. Now he said, if the fans play it in the parking garage on the way out, that would be absolutely fine. I agree. So thank you for the texter that messaged us and said, play some Gloria. Da-da-da. Ba-ba-ba. Feels good to play it again. Oh, that put a smile on my face. Thank you for that one. How come no one ever requests that we play the old St. Louis Cardinals song?
We can do it. We can win it all. We can do it. Watch them curve the ball. We can light up your day and thrill you at night. Put a smile on your face. And make your spirits bright.
Come on, Cardinals. Bum, bum.
Hey, St. Louis, stand up and cheer.
Bum, 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 bum.
There's nothing to it. We can do it. Hey, St. Louis,
we can do it. We have to get one of these songs for Overnight America. Wouldn't that be great? Come on, St. Louis, let's do it. Overnight America can do it. Right before Jack Buck. You know, I normally skip the part where Jack Buck talks about that song, but this was one of the introductory times it was broadcasted on the Cardinals network there. I guess it would have been a network at that point, but this is, we're talking about a year. I think it was 1978, and apparently they were terrible that year. So the song really never caught on. It didn't have the same effect as Gloria. Ooh, Kevin Colleen had another great whole nother story. He's starting to work up some best ofs. I guess I can play this. Why not? He said he's going on vacation, so he's got a couple of best ofs that he's working on. And there is this one. It's just too good to hold on to. I love Kevin Colleen's whole nother story. This would be a great way to start the hour.
It began with an open bowl of peaches in our kitchen. They were very delicious peaches, sweet and juicy, but they must have been carrying the invaders. The fruit flies began swirling at first around the kitchen sink, landing on the white cabinets, and then following us when we sat down to eat. Live and let live, I said at first, But then when you see a fruit fly in the white milk of your cereal, things change. They started having babies, apparently, and as we later learned, it only takes 8 days from the honeymoon night to launching a fully capable baby fruit fly. They were moving beyond our kitchen now, like an Egyptian plague. They were in our living room. They were in our bathroom. They were in our bedroom. "Not tonight, dear," she said. Now it was serious. You can't really slap a fruit fly, though. They hover like easy targets at first, but then they zip away like a cartoon. We tried everything. Fly swatters, but they scatter and can't be chased like a fly. You can't follow them with your eye. We even sprayed Pam on a paper plate and swished it around, hoping to swipe them and get them stuck in the goo. It's all right sometimes, but often I would drop the plate and you'd have Pam all over the kitchen floor. We tried Coca-Cola bottles with soda at the bottom and then a paper funnel at the top, easy in and no way out. They captured some, but many more lingered on the outside of the bottles, laughing at our human weakness. It was time for the ultimate weapon. The vacuum cleaner suction whooshed the fruit flies away into instant oblivion. They were lost in the belly of the dust compartment of our vacuum cleaner, where they would spend their last hours in total futility and confusion, surrounded by dog hair and dust, without water, without hope, unless they can find a way out and regroup. I've decided never to eat peaches again. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Oh, Kevin, man. Those are the best. Kevin Killeen is a genius. He really is. We're going to have AccuWeather on in about 20 minutes from now. We're going to talk about that storm that they thought could be a hurricane, more of a tropical storm now about to hit Louisiana. But we may even see some effects of it up here in St. Louis, Missouri. So we'll talk to Matt Rindy about that. Coming up next, in the very first hour of the show tonight, we welcomed in KMOX alum Bob Costas. We talked about women's soccer situation. I had some comments the other night. He took exception to them. And I'm going to play the first part of that interview coming up. If you want to hear the full interview, you can listen to it at kmox.com/ONA. I don't think I have time to play the full interview, but in the first hour, I asked a question to Michael Calhoun, who you hear doing the news through the overnight. And I said, was there ever a time you did a newscast and as soon as you got back to your desk, the phone was ringing? It was someone that you had as a subject of that newscast and they wanted to tell you that you got it all wrong and they wanted to set the record straight? Well, I had one of those experiences earlier today. Last night, I talked about the women's team, and there were some things that were up in the news about it, and I saw inside Mark Reardon's sound folder here, when we were looking at some of the audio clips that they saved, there was a clip from Bob Costas, so I grabbed my attention and listened to it, and I had some reaction to it last night. Well, as it turns out, Bob Costas has friends here, and of course, St. Louis is his home. This is his adopted hometown. This is where he loves. And one of his friends messaged him and said, hey, this guy on KMOX was talking about you last night. So Bob did a quick search. He listened to the podcast at kmox.com/ONA, and he listened to it, and he didn't like what I said. So I disagreed with some of the things that he said on the clip. Well, maybe the clip wasn't the full story, right? It was only a 60-second clip that we played, and I reacted to it, but it didn't give the full context of what Bob was trying to illustrate. So I get a voicemail this morning. Ryan, this is Bob Costas. And then he sounded a little annoyed because, you know, he's trying to set the record straight because he loves KMOX, he loves St. Louis, and he, you know, didn't want to be misrepresented that way. So I called him back. We had about a half-hour conversation on the phone. And we talked about all kinds of different things. And my very first question to him was, how did you even find out about that? And we talked about women's soccer. We talked about just in general, you know, misquoted and, you know, just the nature of the beast anymore when it comes to media. And at the end of the conversation, well, apparently he wasn't too turned off by me. I thought, man, I don't want Bob Costas hating me. That would make me feel pretty sad. But at the end, he said, if you'd like, I can come on your show later tonight and we can talk about this. And so I said, absolutely, let's do it. So in the first hour of the show, I had a good 25-minute conversation with Bob Costas. I want to play for you the first part of that conversation so you can kind of get an idea of how it all started up. But if you want to listen to the whole thing, you can do that now by going to KMOX.com/ONA. We now have a very special guest that is joining us tonight live. It's someone that you're very familiar with. If you're a longtime KMOX listener, you remember him from, way back in the day. Made a wonderful career for himself, one of the greatest sports broadcasters this industry has ever seen. Bob Costas. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Good. I wanted to mention a few things before we get started. I was bragging to people that you actually gave me a call earlier, even if you were a little upset with some of the things I said. So I think it's awesome that you wanted to come on and talk about this topic with the women's soccer team. There was one quote I wanted to read to you. It was from Kevin Colleen here. He said, "You need to start misrepresenting people more often. You'll get better guests." So hopefully I don't make a habit of it. But, it worked out tonight. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, of course. A couple of things here. Mm-hmm. One, you cannot possibly, if you're a public figure of any kind in modern America, with social media, with talk radio, with Twitter and everything else, you can't possibly correct every misrepresentation. No matter how careful you are, no matter how reasonable, no matter how well you may have expressed yourself, especially if your viewpoint is somewhat nuanced, then people on either side of any argument will tease out whatever part they want to make their argument based on without giving you the context that you originally provided. If you tried to correct every misimpression, it'd be like swatting at locusts. It's just not possible.
Right.
But in this case, St. Louis is my hometown. I've always said that. I consider it to be my hometown. KMOX has a place in my heart. When I'm in town, very often I go on with Charlie Brennan. And these days it's easy to follow, even if you're not in St. Louis, it's easy to follow much of what's on KMOX. And as it happened, I heard about what you said on your program last night, so it was easy for me to check it out this morning. I just Googled it, and in 2 seconds, there it was,
And
I heard it. And you made a number of good arguments, but none of them pertained to the point that I had made.
Right.
So that was where the misrepresentation came in.
Yeah, and we should probably talk about those. So if you want to bring up the original point that was made, and then we can talk about that. And basically, the point I was taking yesterday was, and I might have used the word league a little generously in trying to explain some of the different things that the teams play in. You know, they're not always playing in the same spot. So yeah, I try to differentiate maybe some of the league play here in the United States versus what was going on internationally for FIFA. But the argument you were making was that the women's team in the fair pay is an absolute valid argument in the lawsuit that is being brought up against the U.S. Soccer Federation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, and we can't get into all the particulars. I've actually had to educate myself in the last couple of weeks about it because the pay is not on a one-for-one basis. For example, members of the women's team get a base salary of $100,000, and then there are bonuses based on performance and the number of games and other things, whereas the men do not receive a base salary. They receive bonus money, but that bonus money is generally larger. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult. If they're going to correct it, they've got to go back and take a look at how all the different revenue sources are accounted for and then distributed. Mm-hmm. But the reason I think that it's a very valid argument that the women should receive equal pay with the men is not some political argument. It's not a matter of political correctness, although I think most enlightened people have long since agreed that women should receive the same pay for equal pay for equal work, allowing, of course, for differing circumstances. There are sometimes differences of circumstance with seniority and other things. We don't have to get into all of that. But it's a general principle. Mm-hmm. Equal pay for equal work is an American principle. But as you said, and as I myself have said many times, no one thinks that a star player in the WNBA should receive anything like the 12th guy at the end of the bench on an NBA team. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks that. But when you're talking about the U.S. Soccer Federation, which receives federal funds, it's a nonprofit that receives federal funds, when competing in the World Cup, then in that instance, we're not talking about professional soccer, we're not talking about their leagues, where no matter how celebrated the women are, as of yet, their leagues don't generate the same amount of money, they don't generate the same attendance as the men's leagues in the United States. So nobody thinks that the compensation for that should be the same. But when you're competing under the banner of the United States for the World Cup, then they should be on equal footing, not just in terms of compensation, but in terms of how they travel. The men travel by charter. Mm-hmm. The women travel commercially. Practice fields, women have to practice more often on artificial surface than men do. An artificial surface is tough on the body. It's not a preferred situation. The amount of money that's put into training and other aspects of being a professional soccer player is not equal. And so that would be objectionable even if the performance of the two teams were equal.
Right.
But on a world stage, it's not even close. The women's teams have won Olympic gold medals. They've won 4 World Cups. The men often don't even qualify. They seldom get deep into the tournament. They've never won an Olympic gold medal. And when you talk about the revenues for the U.S. Soccer Federation, they come from a variety of sources. Gate receipts are not the only source.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing, sponsorships, television revenues, and in every case now, in the last several years, the women actually dwarf the men in terms of those revenues. So we're talking about only that situation. We're not talking about a WNBA-NBA comparison. We're not talking about everything always has to be equal. For example, generally speaking, I'm not an expert on this, but female models in the modeling industry generally make more money than male models do.
Mm-hmm.
By the same token, at the Olympics, no one thinks that if you had female sprinters compete with male sprinters, mm-hmm. that it would be an equal outcome. Mm-hmm. However, you win a gold medal for the United States in the women's 100 meters,
mm-hmm.
you're the same level Olympian as someone who does the same on the male side.
Mm-hmm.
But we can all recognize that in the Olympics, women's figure skating is much more popular than men's. And women's gymnastics is much more popular mm-hmm. than men's. So there are differing circumstances. And this narrow circumstance where you're talking about the U.S. Soccer Federation in an international competition,
mm-hmm.
there is just no question that what the women have done has benefited the U.S. Soccer Federation much more than what the men have done.
Mm-hmm.
And also, although it's difficult to quantify this, we can grasp that it's true in terms of the popularity of the game, in terms of how it trickles down
mm-hmm.
to youth soccer and everything else, the women are much more of a driving force in soccer's popularity in the United States at this point than the men are.
Okay. That was just the first 8 minutes of a 25-minute conversation. Now, before I even had a chance to throw a couple of counterpoints at him, we got into a few other issues. Like we talked about it broadly, and I talked about some of the things I've read and what his reaction are to those. Now, if you haven't had a chance to listen to this, maybe you weren't listening the first hour, and that's okay. I understand the nature of radio. Radio stations are always trying to grab your attention for like 10 or 15 minutes at a time. So the idea that you've been around since 10 o'clock, if you're one of those listeners that listen 3 or 4 hours a night, I just want to hug you. You are my best friend, but I understand it's not what every listener's habit is like. That means we podcast these, and that's a great chance for you to listen to the full interview by going to KMOX.com/ONA. We get into it. We talk a lot about this issue, and it's not just a drive-by. We really talk about this issue. So if you want to hear the rest of that, the only way you can get it is by going to KMOX.com/ONA. With this tropical storm coming through to Louisiana, what's going to happen here in St. Louis in a few days? We normally see hurricanes and the storm continues up mainland all the way up, and sometimes we even touch the tail end of it. We got a chance of seeing this storm hit us, so we're going to talk about that with AccuWeather coming up next on Overnight America KMOX. There are some storms hitting the Louisiana area, and joining us now from AccuWeather, meteorologist Matt Rindy. Matt Rindy, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing good.
You know, I wanted to start the interview off by telling you a little quick story, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
I interviewed a CEO of a major, large, billion-dollar company. His name is Kevin Guest the other day, and he said he grew up in Montana. I about fell out of my chair. I thought he was going to say Glasgow. I thought, please let it be Glasgow. But unfortunately, I still have yet to talk to a person from Glasgow. He grew up on the other side of the state.
Okay. Nobody lives there.
Such a shame. Yeah. No one lives there. They have a radio station there. I should find a way to connect. So, Matt Rindy, do you have any affiliates down in the Louisiana area that you've been checking in on?
Nothing in particular, at least not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So, tell me, what's the latest with this storm down there?
Well, it looks like Barry is getting a little better organized. It has bumped up in intensity slightly here in the last 6 hours. We are now at 50 miles per hour sustained winds, gusts up to 65 miles per hour. It's moving very slowly to the west, staying over the warm water. So we're expecting the intensity to slowly increase throughout the day as it gets closer and closer to the southern coast of Louisiana. I think at its peak, it's going to just fall short of a hurricane. We're going to look at it being a strong tropical storm, which, of course, is still problematic, especially given the speed of the storm. The rain is going to be the most significant concern as the system comes on shore.
So you're saying it's staying over that warm water right now. What's the significance of that? Can it just stay there, or what would be the thing to break it loose to make landfall?
Well, the steering flow or the influences that move the storm along is very weak. And now we're waiting for a system actually farther west up in to kind of gather it up. And there are a bunch of different pieces on the field that are expected to bring it farther north, moving northward here in the next 24 hours. So that's what we're expecting to kind of steer things along and bring it on shore.
Yeah.
Now, staying over the warm water, that just feeds the system. You have very warm, very moist air, and that just helps fuel the fire.
I have also heard there's a chance that once this storm makes landfall and continues to head onto the land and north, there's a chance we could catch the tail end of this storm up here in St. Louis.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, though. I'll say the trend has been your friend, assuming you want to avoid the rainfall associated with this. I know we got a dry stretch coming up here, so that may not entirely be the most satisfying situation. But either way, it looks like it's going to pass right through Cape Girardeau area, southern Illinois. And then we might catch the edge of some of the rainfall associated with the system. But the heaviest of the rain is going to fall across the eastern side of the storm. So we should, at best, we're only going to see a little bit.
Why is it that meteorologists have the coolest phrases? The trend has been your friend? I've never heard that. I love it, though.
It's the information we use, it looks like it's trending west, or trending east in this case.
The trend has been your friend. Yes. Would be a great podcast name, a meteorology podcast.
Well, it won't be. It's definitely not my phrase to coin. It's been something I've heard for the last 24 years. So.
Oh, okay. So any chance that this storm gets as north as Glasgow, Montana?
No.
Not quite. A chance.
Not quite.
They get the effects out of Canada more than not, so they have their own problems up there they have to worry about.
Yes, indeed.
Well, so this tail end, Cape Girardeau, what day do you think that'll actually get that high into the inland?
It looks like it would come in Monday night into Tuesday morning.
Oh, okay. So there's still a lot of time for that.
Oh, yes.
So all the people down in Louisiana in that area have been preparing, and they're getting the sandbagging out. How much rain can actually fall from this storm, you think?
We are looking at the risks for as much as 2 feet of rainfall with this system. It's so slow.
Bummer.
And, it's just drawing in a bunch of moisture off of the Gulf even as it's moving on shore. There could be bands of heavy rain for hours upon hours.
Is that what we saw in Houston last year?
Not dissimilar, obviously, with Not Harvey. That was 2 years ago.
Which one was the one last year? I'm blanking on it, too, but that's okay.
Florence.
Ah, yes.
So Florence was also, yes, very slow-moving in the Carolinas.
And this one's called Tropical Storm Barry.
Barry, yes, indeed.
How does the naming work on these again? Don't they go through a rotation of names?
Every 6 years until a storm is retired. Yeah, they repeat.
Is there a Hurricane Matt out there?
I think I got retired, Matthew did, with the storm that hit the Carolinas 3 years ago. They all run together now. But yeah, about 3 years ago, another storm had just slid it off the eastern, and they got about 2 feet of rain in South Carolina, southern North Carolina.
Oh, so if there's a storm that is significant and maybe makes landfall, they retire that name so
they
not to use
the
them?
They retire the name out of, I guess, deference to the damage that it caused and not wanting to cause fear associated with that same name later on.
Oh, interesting. How many names are in the rotation?
I think we carry, there's a 24, skipping Q and X.
Why? They should not discriminate against Q and X.
Oh, sorry. No, that's what you were asking. No, Y is in the naming.
Oh, yeah. Y is in there, too.
See?
I see. These puns. All right. So right now in St. Louis, we're going to get a couple of dry days in a row. We actually need it because we still have some really high river waters here.
And yeah. So you run the juxtaposition of still wanting water to, you know, water the garden, water the lawn.
Yeah.
But not wanting to have your river raising.
Yeah. These poor areas that have still had to deal with flooding. You see the pictures and they're still trying to assess the damage to roads in certain areas. And it's lots of spots, you know, almost 200 different spots the state of Missouri have been looking at to figure out what kind of damages that we need to correct for the roads. And plus, we have these levee breaks across the Missouri River. And I understand that could be upwards of like $2 or $3 billion even to repair it from here all the way down to the south. And that's scary and sad.
Yeah,
lots of damage to that one. So if, I'm sure there's a lot of people thinking, please, no more rain, but then there's some that wouldn't mind. To me, I would say is hold off on the rain. I'm getting tired of mowing my lawn every 4 days.
No, I understand that, too.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I do stand corrected. We do not have a Y name in the, storm or a C name.
Oh, why not? We should get it in there.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Running out of names, I guess.
We should. What's a good popular Y name? Yvette? What are some other Y names? Can you think of any other ones?
Not offhand.
Like Neil Young, you can do a more like last names. Hurricane Young would be pretty good.
I knew a Yolanda growing up.
Because he did a song about a hurricane. What was that one Neil Young song? He goes, "It's this world keeps spinning around. It's amazing tall trees ain't laying down." Yeah, that's a good meteorology. All right. Matt Rindy, AccuWeather meteorologist. Thanks for hopping on here with us on KMOX.
As always, my pleasure.
That's always fun. Matt's awesome to have. And you know what? That was live. So he actually wanted to come on late night here on Overnight America to give us the absolute latest of what's going on. And looks like about Monday night-ish Monday, you'll see Cape Girardeau area. You could see a tail end of this tropical storm, the tropical storm Barry hitting us. This is Overnight America, KMOX. This feels like good workout music. I'm just going to keep playing this bumper music as it gets me pumped up for our last couple of minutes together. If you want to be the last call of the week, you can at 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. The science correspondent Henry Botkin for The Telegraph said scientists are now urging you to pump yourself up in the second person. So there's a difference between saying you can do it and I can do it. Apparently, in your mind, let's say you're training, you're doing that montage scene where Rocky is getting ready for his big match, and this is playing in the background. Dun, 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 dun. Growing stronger. You know, everyone's getting all pumped up and crazy. So if you're on the treadmill and you need that extra half mile and you're almost there, but you're exhausted, you're just done, this is what you say to yourself. You can do it. You say, you can do it. Don't say, I can do it. Say, you can do it to yourself. For whatever reason, the different people that are cyclists or runners or whatever it is, when they do that and they switch it to the second person, all of a sudden you start doing a little bit better. It's kind of crazy. So scientists cannot say for sure why one, you know, formula for grammar would hold an advantage over the other. But they suggest using you helps distance the athlete from the physical trauma of keeping going and puts that challenge into perspective. So Dr. James Hardy, one of the researchers on this project, said that it's possible that using a non-first-person pronoun perspective helps performance because it allows the runner to adapt a thinking process that is more helpful to him or her. And then turn promotes clearer thinking, better choices, and enhanced performance. So every night, right before we start here on Overnight America, I'm going to crouch down and I'm going to say to myself, you can do it. Not I can do it. You can do it. You can do this. 4 hours tonight. You and all of America. You can do it, Ryan. I talk to myself in an accent. I don't know why. So that's kind of cool. It just seemed that music bed seemed to fit perfectly. How many other stories can I burn through here? Because we only got about 5-6 minutes left before we say goodnight. Oh, here's one from Fox News. Yeah, it's interesting the amount of attention that news agencies pay to ratings of other news agencies. So in this case, Fox News did an article about the ratings at CNN being terrible. It says, CNN is suffering a credibility crisis as viewership from the once proud network continues to cater with no apparent plan on fixing things anytime soon, according to media watchdogs and insiders. So this is what they point out about the audience at CNN, and it's no secret that their ratings have continued to shrink over and over and over and over again. They did this big shift back in 2015, and they turned into the, you know, anti-Trump network, them and MSNBC, over and over again. You know, they're not as extreme as MSNBC, but at the same time, the CNN of the 90s is a thing that's long past. The Larry King years of CNN, long past. You're not going to see those come back anytime soon. And that's kind of a shame. I mean, even Larry King, he was one of the late night radio kings. I mean, pun intended. He was on, and he was on so many different stations. And I really admired how he handled those interview programs. I wish I had the opportunity to be a radio broadcaster during the same time Larry King was on the air. I mean, radio was magical. You think about Jim White here at KMOX and all the connections he had, all the listeners that would call in. It's really awesome. And it's radio's different now. It's just there's not the same people listening at night. There's not the same interactions. People get their fix to interact on social media, not by calling the radio. If you want to get your opinion out there, you don't have to wait for me and you don't have to pick up your phone and call. Now, it's a little bit more fun when you have someone to interact with as opposed to a one-way message, and that's why programs like this are still relevant, and we'd like to talk about these things. Plus, you're actually going to get a nice variety of the things we talk about. I mean, I'm curating the stories that I find fascinating and trying to bring to you different points that maybe you didn't think about, but you're not going to find that on social media all that often without it turning into a yelling match. CNN back in the day, in one of the interviews I remember hearing Larry King give probably in the last year, Larry King would talk about how he would watch CNN today and there would be a major news story. There could be a hurricane hitting Louisiana. Like, you know, right now we have the tropical storm or, you know, a hurricane hitting the East Coast or, you know, down in the Gulf. And it would be actively hitting. And CNN would be talking about Donald Trump did this or Donald Trump did that and he said this and he said that. Here's an analysis of, you know, someone coming on with a clear bias that we're going to pretend is newsworthy, but we're just going to let them come in and rant about how much they hate Donald Trump. And in the bottom corner, there'd be a little rotating radar, like we're tracking this, but they're not covering it. They're not, he said back in the 90s, CNN would be wall to wall with these major news stories that are going on, wall to wall. But now it's, they can't break away long enough because they have a like an insult quota for the president. Now, when you pop over to Fox News or something, you'll see that they'll cover it. They're actually out there covering these as a news event. There's a big difference between the CNN of Larry King's time and now, and he's absolutely right to point those things out. Has it worked for them, the strategy? No, it hasn't. So where does CNN's ratings sit now? CNN's audience shriveled in the second quarter of 2019, averaging only 541,000 total viewers, less than half the Fox News channel, which averaged 1.3 million during that time. Wow. And it gets even worse during their prime time. So between 8 and 11 p.m. at night, they finished 15th most watched network on basic cable, 15th. Not even the top 10. 15, barely top 15. Isn't that something? So your Hallmark channels, your HGTVs, your TLCs, your Discovery channels, all ranked much higher. And of course, of the major news networks, the lowest. CNN averaged just 761,000 viewers in their prime time. Fox News during their prime time, when you get the commentators on all the networks, 2.4 million. Wow. 2.4 million versus 761,000. Said CNN started off in the third quarter, the network's lowest average since 2015. Another current CNN employee told Fox News that it is widespread concern about the ratings, but a high-profile host like Anderson Cooper remains unfazed. They mentioned that. Because they could still get the bookers in there, but they don't even have to get any big-time guests. They just say, okay, let's spin the wheel of people that hate Donald Trump, and let's see who we're going to bring on today. Or when there's something relevant, like Michael Avenatti, they'll bring him on every day or every show for months, you know, until the savior of the Democrat Party, as like Bill Maher loved to call him, finds himself in trouble of his own. And yes, he's still in very much trouble. All these other lawsuits against him, you know, it's real crazy and terrible things that he's being accused of doing. It owes a lot of money. He's in some serious trouble. But remember, don't forget, that was the darling child of CNN. You know, they hitched themselves to the Avenatti horse, and look what's happened to him. You know, that's come back to bite them too. So they say people are concerned. It says it's certainly not the anchors who have lucrative contracts. It's the people among the lower levels, such as producers and show bookers. Now, are ratings the thing that drives CNN? No. You know the thing that drives CNN? They have the cash cow, which is all of these sweetheart deals with the cable companies that get them a per-user's base of money. So every time there is a cable subscription sold, or maybe you have cable in your home, you're paying to have CNN put in your home. They get X amount of dollars per person, and that is the biggest revenue draw you can possibly get. And you know what? Ratings don't even matter at that point. They'll be funded forever because of that, unless that deal somehow gets broken up. But, you know, that deal's been in place forever. It says losing nearly 40% of an already third-place audience must be a primary topic of internal meetings, some experts are saying. CNN's most popular show, Cuomo Primetime, only averaged 910,000 viewers, their number one primetime show. It says 14 Fox News programs and 10 MSNBC programs attract larger audiences. Wow. The number one show on CNN, there are 14 with higher ratings on Fox News. Wow. That's telling. So, yes, they've slipped far away. You know, they should get out of the commentary business altogether. They're losing the commentary business. It's not working for them. The strategy is terrible. But then again, you know, it's CNN. This is CNN. Will they listen to what their obvious reactions are to the people that watch it? In fact, people turning the TVs off, do they care? Probably not. Well, that does it for us. Overnight America saying goodbye for the weekend. Please rest up, and we'll be back again Sunday night. You can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Go listen to our show at KMOX.com/ONA. Have a great one. We'll see you.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.